You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to Cannon Fodder. It is Wednesday, July 19th, 2023, and I'm your old pal, Joey O'Brien.
And I'm Troy. 15 days till Gen Con La Valley.
Count it down, brother. And you know what the best part is? We're ready.
I'm not going to make it. I don't think I'm going to survive. I'm in rough shape, dude. I was lamenting to you pre-stream that we are sleep training Evie right now, while Dash and Archer just having some trouble sleeping as well. They don't take after their dad, so they're waking up constantly. So it is this nightly occurrence that has been going on. Now, I mean, the sleep training just started last week, but like every week, my wife and I, every night we go to bed, I can't even talk straight. Every night we go to bed, we are up like every 45 minutes, and then we come back and we try to go back to sleep, then we're up again. It is like literally worse than the infant stage, where you're just like up feed, because now we've got three of them, and so I feel like a fucking crazy person at all times. And then I just look at like Gen Con work, San Diego Comic Con, Glass Cannon podcast, time for chaos, get in the truck. I'm just like
all day long.
Yeah, it is incredibly, incredibly unhealthy to not get your sleep. So figure it out, man. Figure it out.
You know, and I never was one where I was like, gotta get my 8 hours. I was like, 5 hours, I'm fine. But over the past like 6 to 8 months, I've been looking for like all little like biohacks that can help, because we just have a lot going on. And like the easiest one is like, make sure you get your sleep. 8 hours to me just seems crazy. But like, make sure you get your sleep. Watch everything that you eat.
Makes everything better. Everything better.
So at this point, I'm just going to bed at 10 and hoping that by 6 or 5, 3 or 4 hours of sleep happened. And it's not going.
It's not working out so far.
Do you go to sleep? Not when we're on the road and we've had 800 vodka sodas, but like at home when you're only having 400 vodka sodas, do you go to bed and then like sleep through the night and wake up? Or you just, because does anyone do that? Or you just can't, you're up every once in a while and you take a piss, or you just like, you're like, ah, I'm awake and I'm just gonna go back to sleep.
Yeah, I get up every once in a while and take a piss. I mean, I am I'm in my 40s, I'm a man in my 40s, so my prostate is growing steadily, and it happens. You don't, I mean, I can't remember the last time I went to sleep and woke up to like a 7 a.m. alarm. Like, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, but I think some people experience that, and I want to talk to
healthy people. Healthy people experience
that. Is it just healthy?
Yes.
Not even piss related, just like, I'm awake. And then you go back to sleep. Like, I don't know. I've been at like beyond exhaustion.
My understanding is that it is an entire lifestyle. Like, it is entire, you have to have a certain lifestyle that you work towards in order to sleep soundly 8 hours a night. And it has a lot to do with your eating habits and your drinking habits. You know, you have to really monitor what you're taking into your body after like 7 o'clock PM. And that is really going to do, you know, great things for you to get a whole night's sleep. Now, as far as anxiety and stuff like that goes, I don't know how people deal with that and sleep with that and wake up to, you know, I mean, like, you just seem like a constant sufferer of anxiety, and that might be why you wake up a lot beyond your kids waking you up. But
maybe
I think that it's purely like physiological food and drink. That's what I always think. I'm like, I need eat after 7 o'clock, not have any drinks ever, not have any fun or smile ever, and then like you'll sleep through the night.
But I mean, I've been on top of that. I've been really like just eating super, super clean. I don't eat anything with fucking additives except unless it's like a special day. And I thought that would make a big change. Lift away, do everything. Nothing makes a difference. Just this brain.
Well, you got the three kids. I mean, you haven't tested it without three kids.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Take it out for a spin after that. Let's get into the FOD today. Let's get into the FOD. We have so much to discuss. We got Comic-Con this week. We got fun lab stuff coming up. We got a new Friends of the Pod dropping. We've got Getting the Trunk premiered. We've got SideQuest Side Sessions off and rolling. And yeah, we're going to talk a little, ironically enough, we're going to talk about sleep. And we are stupid. So I'm looking forward to that. That worked out well. Nice job, Professor Eric. So big week this week. We head out to San Diego Comic-Con for the first time ever. And that is after our character creation session last week. We hope you guys saw it. We did the Marvel Multiverse RPG character creation system. What were some of your takeaways, Troy, from the from mechanics to the actual stories and how they worked out? What did you think about the character creation sesh?
I mean, dude, it brought me back to playing the Marvel superheroes role-playing game when I was a kid, because we in the X amount of hours that I played that game, we spent 75% of it just making up our own superheroes. We barely did like adventures. We maybe would do encounters, like we would build the superhero and then be like, all right, he's going up against Thanos, and then just immediately die and build another one. So I always say character creation is the best part, and this sort of solidified it. But man, it was fun seeing everybody not only like start to come to grips with the system, but choose their how they would develop this character, because a lot of you guys came in with nothing, and that's really what I wanted you to do. And so having you discover the system let you decide if you wanted to go outside in or inside out, have your concept that was starting to develop fit the mechanics that were available to you, or as you're starting to discover the mechanics, be like, oh, maybe he's a this kind of guy or this kind of woman. And so it was really cool to kind of just throw that stuff out there and then sit back and watch you guys be geniuses.
I really loved the way that it came together. I was definitely nervous because I went in with nothing, and but to come out of it at the end with the keepers, as we're calling ourselves at the moment, it was just so fun to like, once everybody's code names were revealed and you just like, we rattled off the six members of this team, the superhero team, I was like, I'm so fired up. Like, I got completely sucked in by the game and the system. And I was talking to CJ over at Marvel, who has been my contact through this whole thing, and the Marvel people were watching it and they loved it, and we're super thankful for them to them for sharing the game with us and helping sponsor Gen Con and everything. They were like I was talking to him and I said, the way that the power system works, I absolutely love, because basically, if you're a Pathfinder player, what this does is it gives you an opportunity at character creation, when you're quote unquote like level one, it gives you the option to basically just take 12 feats.
Yep.
That's essentially what it is. And it's so much fun because you've got feat trees and you've got things that build in other things. And really what they mostly are really fun abilities that set you apart from your allies. And some of them are combat. Some of them clearly are non-combat. And some of them can be used in both in really effective ways, whether that's, you know, moving silently or actually using certain movements in a fight. So I loved it. I was so excited. In fact, I'm still working on it. I'm still like making tweaks, and because these kind of things, I'll get analysis paralysis down to the last minute. I'll be on the plane to San Diego still like swapping out powers because it's so much fun. Yeah. And so I took a bit of a, I guess you could say, outside in sort of thing, where I didn't have a concept and I started with the mechanics, then back built a concept. And I'm really excited about it. And now you're telling me we might get art. Is this going to happen?
Yeah, I wanted to, as I'm going through this, I'm like, are we going to have a video screen? You're like, yeah. I'm like, well, then I've got to have art commissioned. So I found a member of the Nation who's done art for us before, who did some art of the Marvel Superheroes team that we did on New Game Who Dis. I remember seeing that and loving it. So he's going to bang out some portraits that we will debut at Comic-Con, which just sounds crazy that we're fucking going to Comic-Con to debut the Marvel game.
I know. It's amazing. I'll tell you, like, it brings me so much pure childlike joy to say that the Marvel Multiverse RPG did this for me. This is what it did for me. It allowed me to go to my first ever San Diego Comic-Con and I'm going to reveal a superhero I made up. Like, I mean, does it get better than that? Like, with artwork and gameplay and a narrative and everything, like, for the first time in front of a live audience. It's just, I mean, of course, like, I'm my nerves are frayed. I'm so nervous. But, like, it's such an exciting thing to be a part of, and I feel very, very lucky. So that it's just so cool. We got a lot to discuss. So we'll next Cannon Fodder, we'll know how it all went down. next week, we'll already be back from Comic-Con. So, well, let me ask you, is there anything that you're looking forward to doing besides our show at Comic-Con? Like, is there something you're like, oh man, or anything in San Diego as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is I love San Diego. I love the Gas Lamp District, and I didn't realize till Alicia said it. I was like, oh my God, the Gas Lamp. I forgot all about that. Like, all those great bars and restaurants. So I want some tacos. I want some fucking margs. Like, there's no tomorrow. So I'm excited about that, obviously. But for the con itself, you know, I love walking the showroom floor, and it's my understanding it's like a showroom floor unlike any other. Like, celebrities couldn't care less. Any of that stuff, like signings, don't care. Like, I just want to see booths. You know, I obviously, as my interest in sports cards, I want to see if there's any sort of sports card presence there. But I'm excited to just kind of take in the con, enjoy some phenomenal Mexican food and margis. You know, my wife and I, we got engaged on a trip to LA, and we were in Santa Monica when I proposed. And then the next day we went to San Diego for like 24 hours, just to check out San Diego. And I'd been there once or twice before, maybe only once before, actually, to go to a Padres game when I was living in LA. And I remember going to this fucking 5-star phenomenal Mexican joint. So I want to try and track that down. And, you know, there's great breweries out there. Ballast Point has a location there. So I'm just looking forward to the whole thing. Usually I go, I have dread. I'm like, I'm leaving my kids. And I'm like, I'm nervous about, I've got to like learn this adventure and learn a brand new system. But I'm really trying to like let that all go and just enjoy the moment. So it'll be a good time.
Let's talk about Glass Cannon Labs. We have sort of not repurposed Labs, because Labs has always just been about chilling and hanging out, but this month Labs has essentially become prep for Gen Con, because it were like, let's kill two birds with one stone. And so last week we created Marvel characters. Next week, so there is no Labs this week because we're flying out to San Diego. That's when we're flying out to San Diego. Yep. So sorry, no Labs tomorrow. But next week, Labs is going to return with me at the helm, because we're going to be doing Dragonbane character creation. So Dragonbane, for those that don't know, is the new, not a new game, but in the updated game from Free League of one of the most iconic Norwegian, Swedish, I can't remember which one it is, Scandinavian, let's say, role-playing games of the 80s, I want to say, 70s, 80s. So I don't know a whole lot about the history of it, but I do know that it has long time been a passion project of Tomas, who's the head of Free League and the lead creator, and they have created, recreated Dragonbane. And so it's a classic RPG, fantasy, high fantasy RPG that I'm really looking forward to playing with you guys. You're going to play, right? Are you playing?
No, I'm not playing Dragonbane.
You're not playing Dragonbane.
I can tell you the cast.
Who's the cast?
Let me just look at my list here. It is, who the hell's Joe? Oh, that's you. Joe, it's going to
be running it.
Skid, Jason Charles Miller, Josephine McAdam, and Paula Deming.
That's right. Oh, God, what a great combo.
Great cast. That's dude, a great I just cast. Finished casting for Gen Con. I just finished like 5 minutes before this call. It has been a nightmare. I mean, I feel like beautiful mind, just like, move this person to here. Are you available this time? But it's done. And I'm really excited about the cast that we have. I just like, because it's not even based on availability. It's like, what is going to be the best group for this game and this host? And I mean, man, you've got a stellar fucking group for this.
Yeah, stellar group. And I think it's going to be a really, really cool game. So I urge everybody to check it out next week. Dragonbane character creation is going to be happening. And then that's because we're going to play those characters in the booth together at Gen Con. So really, really looking forward to that. And thank you to Free League for stepping up and also sponsoring the Glass Cannon Gen Con booth. Before I get into Get in the Trunk, I want to talk about the premiere of Get in the Trunk with you. Yeah, go ahead.
But you were talking about Labs a little bit, and it's important, like you said, Labs change. But what a cool way to change, because like it's just become like a proper lab. Like, we're going to play that game at Gen Con. Let's use Labs to start preparing for it. So like Labs is kind of a great catch-all for not only trying new games, but using it as a testing ground for stuff that we're going to do in a more high-profile setting, arguably.
Yeah, well, essentially what it is, I mean, it doesn't have one definition, Labs. But it these are things that needed to happen anyway. And like, we needed to create characters before we did this Gen Con game of Dragonbane anyway. And we most likely would not get everybody on one call to talk this all out. It would happen over email and stuff like that. And it just wouldn't be as fun or as effective.
Right.
So, and people would take a lot of time. They'd make decisions. Then they'd find out that other people did the same thing. And it would be, you know, kind of confusing. How about we ask these folks to just take 2 hours out of their day, and in 2 hours, you just get on a call and we bang it out together, and everybody feels heard and like they've carved out their piece of this party for the character. And why not just air that in front of the niche? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just worked perfectly. For me, I really was excited at this idea of using labs for the character creation for Gen Con, because we got to do it anyway, and we might as well do it along with the niche. It's also great seeing people's comments live. It was awesome, like having people in chat throwing out code names for heroes, you know, suggestions and name suggestions for the team, for the superhero team. And
it was very, very fun. I mean, awesome. And that's what labs is supposed to be. It's kind of like we have a double A, triple A, and the majors. Like our double A team is our Glass Cannon Labs. Triple A is Friends of the Pod, and then the majors is like Greenlit to Series.
Yeah, it's awesome. Speaking of which, Friends of the Pod, I'm going to get in the trunk in a second, but we got a new Friends of the Pod coming. And I mentioned this as a tease months ago on Cannon Fodder. I don't know if anybody even remembers, but we actually pre-recorded a few months ago a Friends of the Pod with our friends at Chaosium, and particularly Brian Holland, who appeared in the Gen Con booth last year. He ran us through a bunch of demos of some really, really fun games that Chaosium puts out besides Call of Cthulhu. One of those games that they published that we did play in New Game Who Dis is RuneQuest. And RuneQuest, just an amazing system, returns through Friends of the Pod. And this is a proper Friends of the Pod. This is a triple A, fully pre-produced, three full episodes you're going to get of Friends of the Pod RuneQuest. And it's going to start this coming Monday night, September 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/theglasscannon. You're going to see character creation, which is phenomenal in RuneQuest.
Oh my God, we have so much fun with it.
It is so much fun. We actually trim it down. Spoiler alert. We trim it down. For those that are used to real character creation in RuneQuest, we trim it down. But in real RuneQuest character creation, you begin with your grandparents. You create your grandparents, and then on down through the years. It's amazing how the mechanics, how they work. And so we just trim that a little bit and so that we can fit it within 2 hours. But it's so much fun. And then we do a two-part adventure with Brian Holland running it. You playing it, I playing it. And then Josephine McAdam and Noor Ibrahim. I mean, it's amazing. So please come check it out on twitch.tv/theglasscannon on Monday night. If you've never heard of RuneQuest, you don't know how it works, this is the perfect opportunity to tune in and really start to learn the system.
And we got another Friends of the Pod next week. We have two Friends of the Pods next week.
We've got so many friends.
Dude, there's actually going to be a stream every single night next week. There's going to be Monday is going to be Friends of the Pod. Tuesday is Get in the Trunk. Wednesday is Haunted City. Thursday is SideQuest Side Sesh. Friday is going to be another Friends of the Pod, another character creation session for this game. When I was at PAX Unplugged, I was walking around. I think it was Saturday morning. And we had a show that night. I was like, I want to do the con for a little bit, clear my head. I'm walking around. And I see this booth for a game called Vast Grim, which is kind of it's in the vein of these OSR Mirkborg, Mirkburi type games. And it's basically grim dark set in space. And so I had heard of it because at Gen Con, Todd Stashwick was like, hey, I pre-ordered this game called Vast Grim, and I saw like hard copies of it. I was like, yo, I got to buy one of those. And I started talking to the guy. I'm like, I don't know if you know the Glass Cannon Network. And he's like, oh my God, I know the Glass Cannon Network. I'm like, you're full of shit. But he actually did know us. And he's like, here, take the dice. Take all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, we're launching a new show called Glass Cannon Labs. So maybe we can play. We'll see. I didn't realize that I'd very soon run out of time to play games. But as we were building the Gen Con booth, I'm like, I wonder if Vast Grim would want to do something. They were like, absolutely, we'd love to do it. Why don't we do two things? We'll do Friends of the Pod as well. So we're going to do a Friends of the Pod character creation session for Vast Grim that will air next Friday night. And then they're going to play a scenario with those characters, just like Dragonbane, like you're doing on Labs, in the booth at Gen Con. So that'll be very exciting. It's Jared with an all-woman cast. Kate, Sydney, Nora and Paula, right?
That's right.
Kate, Sydney, Nora, and Paula. So, God, we got so much going on, dude. I love
I'm having so much fun with these combos of the casts, you know, because right? Now, like, every one of these days are, like, all people we've at least played with once before or twice, you know, and in some cases, dozens and dozens of times, and now they're all mixing and matching, and it's just so much fun. So, yeah, I mean, next week will be... Well, it'll be 2 weeks before we'll have our big, you know, pre-Gen Con fodder. But, you know, I'm just going to geek out so much about what that week's of content's going to be like and just seeing all these different casts mixing and matching and having fun together. It's going to be great. Let's talk about Get in the Trunk. Get in the Trunk premiered last week. Last FOD, I couldn't really get into it because it had just aired the night before and I didn't want to, like, spoil anything. So minor spoilers ahead for those of you that do not want to hear anything about season 5 of Get in the Trunk. But I'm not going to talk about last night's episode because that just aired. So let's just talk about the Season 5, Episode 1 premiere, the 3-hour beast of a
that feels
essentially
like a
fallout
ago.
And downtime of the Night Floors. What, if anything, I just want to talk to you as a player now for a second. What, if anything, did you expect going into that session? Were you surprised? Talk to me about your reactions post premiere of Season 1 or Episode 1.
I knew there was going to be a time jump. You'd kind of like maybe let slip or like it prepped us in some way, like just so you know, it's going to take place in a different time. But I didn't know what that gap was going to be. And I also didn't know that it was going to happen in segments with like different, portions of this person's life. And so once that started to become clear to me, I was like, okay, storyteller hat goes on. How do we really paint a picture that has all the highs and all the lows? How do you turn on a dime and then do it all while improvising and just coming up with it on the fly? Because I wanted to come in with ideas, but I also wanted to like really listen and react to what other people were doing. And obviously, Sydney and I, Vicky and Roger, have their own thing that's going on as it's connected. So I wanted to collaborate with her. And we have such a great rapport now from playing so much together that we trust each other so much to be like, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? What about this? And go back and forth. So that was a lot of fun. But I watched it back. I was sitting in there. I didn't chat because I'm logged in as Glass Cannon. And so I think McD is on that. And so I'm like, I don't chat as Glass Cannon. I don't even know if I have a Troy LaBally Twitch, but I watched the whole fucking thing just because I love seeing people's reactions. And I just forgot about so many things. I forgot about like you guys' reactions to certain things and things that we came up with in the moment. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, really,
yeah,
people are juiced to have this show back. It's such a tentpole of the network.
Yeah, it's such a great time to play. And I remember thinking I had a plan and I was shocked by what you and Sydney did in that episode. I was just like completely turned around. I'm like, how am I supposed to prepare this adventure now? I mean, now you guys have so much baggage going in to the adventure that it's just like, how is this going to possibly play out well, you know, within the group? It's going to be like straight up PvP. it's really fun, but that's what's cool. Like, you know, you say PvP, but it's really just you and Sydney really working well together. And that's exciting. And that's awesome. And I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk. Well, let's just talk Gen Con briefly, because there really is some... A few of our shows are sold out. A few are very close to selling out. So can you just remind people really quick what's still available if they want to grab tickets to see us live while we're in Indy?
All right. So obviously we've got the booth. The booth is its own thing. You can come by the booth. We're going to release that schedule. Hopefully next week we're going to start trickling that schedule out. So you'll get to see what's happening at the booth and what time. And if there's somebody you want to see, come by the booth and you can wave to us while we're playing or hang around afterwards to say hello. You know, I don't know right now if we're going to have set times for like meet and greets. I haven't got that far in my plans. You know, my initial conception of a larger booth this year had us doing a lot more fan interaction. But I mean, you just got a meeting schedule from Tristan. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to even wave to anyone because this is a big, big business weekend for us. But anyways, the point is, if there's someone you want to see, please come by the booth. You watch it. We have it on the TV as well, so you can watch it in real time. It's a lot of fun. And we're going to be releasing a bunch of new merch as well. We'll talk more Gen Con next week. In answer to your actual question, we've got Glass Cannon Live. That's happening Thursday night, sold out at Helium Comedy Club. You're going to have to get tickets on the black market. And then, why am I thinking aloud when I can just look at my fucking schedule? And then we've got Friday. There is Modern Call of Cthulhu that is happening at the con. That is 1 p.m. At the con. That is sold out. But it's my understanding that is going to be streamed on the Gen Con Twitch. So you can watch that one. And then later that night, Friday night, we have Call of Cthulhu Live, which is going to be something. It's just a fucking event. You're going to wish you were there, because if we ever do it again, you'll be able to say you were there first. There are still tickets left for that. There are 11 premium seats left if you want to sit like super close to the stage, but there's still a ton of just like general admission. Those general admission ones are only $15. Please come to this show. You know, I don't know. I don't. Maybe we'll sell it out. We got a couple weeks left, but like that was meant to be a big theater with cheap tickets just to put a ton of asses in the seats. We've already got a ton of asses coming. And we've got a poster.
So many asses.
Angeline made a poster just for that show that is absolutely outstanding. And you'll only be able to get it at that show, I think. Maybe if we have some leftovers, we'll bring them by the Gen Con booth. And then Saturday, we have Busted Mufflers. Am I already on to Saturday? Saturday is Busted Mufflers, which is at 5:30, I believe. And there are still tickets left for that as well. And that one is, to my understanding, not going to be streamed. So that Busted Muffler show will only live in that room if you see it live. I believe it's at the Westin. Tickets are $14 to that. So come on out. And then Jared Logan is doing a stand-up performance, which I think is like right before our Friday show. And that's sold out as well. So if you want tickets to events, it's got to be Call of Cthulhu Live Friday night at the Athenaeum Theater, which is, you know, a long walk or an Uber ride away from the con. And then Busted Mufflers at the con on Saturday, early evening. Still some tickets left for that. And then we already announced fucking we're coming to Boston in September. We're coming to Chicago and St. Louis for the first time. St. Louis in October. Tickets are already on sale for all of those.
I just went browsing around yesterday because I was trying to, my wife was like, can you please update our schedule with all of your flight numbers through the summer so that I have them on my, sure. And I was doing all that. And I was like, let me check in on Chicago. Dirt cheap right now, buddy. Dirt cheap. Already bought my flight to Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We're flight to Chicago is literally like $115. So it's not a round trip, obviously. That's one way.
That's the beauty about flying to Chicago. And that's a Thursday night show in Chicago. So
yeah, it's a Wednesday flight. So it's nice and cheap. It was awesome.
But you didn't get the flight home from St. Louis.
Because it was $1,000. Because it's Sunday. They don't want anybody enjoying the pleasure of flying home on Sunday of Halloween weekend. That's essentially what it is. It's like Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, they're getting you. But whatever. Well, we'll take it as it comes.
Too bad the Rams weren't still there. We could like catch a Rams game and just come home on Monday. But there's no team. There's no football team, right?
No football team.
You know, we'll probably
maybe the Cardinals will be in the World Series or in the
they'll be NLCS. Foolish. That'll be foolish. that'll be fun. Yeah, I can't wait to get back to Chicago. Little Pequods.
Little Pequods.
Brusconis.
Dude, it's great. Me, you, Matthew, Skid jammed into that booth. I remember us getting Pequods and a pitcher. I think, no. It was just the four of us, I think, right? I don't know. I'm blanky. I feel like somebody. Anyway, it was big stack of pizza and a pitcher of beer. I mean, just amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Let's talk some SideQuest Side Sesh.
I didn't think we'd ever get to it.
I know. I want to talk SideQuest Side Sesh because I'm having so much fun. Also, a very exciting announcement coming up about another new show that's recording, but will air soon. God, I can't believe I want to get all this stuff in. But yeah, we greenlighted a season two we talked about a little bit ago, and that's recording. We'll talk about that in a second. But SideQuest Side Sesh.
That's the name of this show.
And we talked about it a little bit in studio last week, which was really fun. It was great doing FOD in studio, by the way. Are we going to do that more? Or is that like, are we going to stay at home? You and I were talking about this right before we went live, but I want to reveal some of that convo to the Nash live.
So where we're at right now is when Glass Cannon Podcast Campaign 2 launches, Cannon Fodder will also have a video component in addition to audio because why not? And I think that it would be irresponsible to say that we could always do that in studio, because you and I are not going to drive 3 hours round trip to record fodder. However, on instances when we happen to be in there and we can bang out those fodders, we'll absolutely do some in studio, some remote. It's so fun to do that.
It was so great doing it in studio last week. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fun. I mean, for us, we did it as a test. It's like, now Francis is going and making a cut that'll never see the light of day that I can watch on the flight to San Diego and see, like, okay, ooh, you know what? That camera, we got to move that slightly, or like, see that cut there. It's just good practice for us. But it'll be
fun. I could already tell you something. I'll share this with the Nash, this little internal John, which was great. One thing that you're going to think is really funny is in the video, in the cut of the video, when it starts, and I'm like, yeah, what's going on, everybody? It's just you. It's just your face.
Oh, because the camera was on me.
Because Francis didn't know, like, what fodder was, or that I would start, like, the show off. Because you start off everything in all the testing we've done. So the camera was just sitting on you, and then I start, and a couple beats later, it just moves over to me.
Well, you know, really that's funny. Just in the live cut, because the way we've got, how many cameras in there? Six or eight cameras?
Six,
maybe seven. I can't remember. But all of that stuff is recorded, so all those cameras are running. Francis is just live switching to make his life easier. Yeah. So, like, we have the shot of you, but that's funny. Yeah, the raw cut would have it starting on me, just sitting there reading.
Looking at me being like, why are you so loud?
Checking up on the socks.
SideQuest Side Sesh is episode 5 airs.
A breath of fresh air.
Drops this week. Oh, it's just so much fun. So laid back. We're actually recording it today. We're recording some more today. Looking forward to that. Episode 5 is largely a role-playing app. So we don't really have We Are Stupid from episode 5 this week. But like I said, Professor Eric wrote in about our conversations about the sleep spell. So we are going to talk about that for a minute in We Are Stupid. But episode 5 is really about getting to this hidden city, which I think is just such an awesome and fun sort of setting. A hidden city in the jungle. Sign me up. It's a very tropish sort of adventure type thing that I'm always, always down for. This has got to be intimidating, though, from the GM seat, because your characters are essentially entering a hidden, quote unquote, alien city, a city where nothing is sort of what they can expect. And all of the characters are strange and different. And there's a mystery to be solved. And they want to start talking to people right away. Talk to me about your prep process for, like, how many people did you prepare to, like, talk to or about? You know, how many NPCs did you have ready? How did you decide to disseminate information through, you know, just walking raw into a city?
When I say I prepared nothing for the cocktail party, I am not even slightly exaggerating.
That is not true.
Dude, nothing? I didn't. 100%. All I have in my notes for that is, like, as you're talking to people.
You didn't prepare Jimmy?
No, I didn't prepare Jimmy. Montgomery Pip.
Dude,
yeah, that was all. And I don't know why. Usually I do more preparation for that, but I'm experimenting with some stuff. This is all, like, fucking training right now for Gatewalkers.
It's reps, yeah.
And so I'm going through a lot. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that maybe I'll talk about at some point. It's just, like, different things that I'm practicing to, like, do. It's just like doing lifting at the gym. I'm like, let me try this. Let me try over-prepare this, under-prepare this. But all I have in my notes is, like, you know, if people ask questions about something, as Foster, if people ask questions about this, here are possible responses. So I have that, and I'm trying to work that in, but I didn't know how you guys were going to attack
when you write
this.
That, I'm just curious. I want people to get a glimpse into your notes. Like, when you write that, do you write responses as dialogue? Like, do you write, like, a sentence as someone would say it? Or do you write, like, the basic idea or the gist of what they would get to?
I do both. In this instance, all I did was copy and paste what Paizo had in the scenario, so that I have
that. So they had dialogue, I would assume?
It's not dialogue. It's not written as dialogue.
It's summaries?
Sometimes I'll take it when something is just given as information, I will rewrite it as dialogue, so I have that dialogue ready, and then either use it or extrapolate upon it. In this instance, I just had what they had, and I wanted to see what you guys were going to do. And as you were getting to the party, like, it's funny. Sometimes I prepare these things, and, you know, I read it once, I read it twice, I prepare it again, and then you guys start getting into it, and I can see that, like, a couple things happen. My original vision of how things look changes as we're getting into it. I'm like, oh, you know what? I read this wrong. It's not quite like that. Or you guys start to envision it in a way that's different than either how I envisioned it or how it's pictured. And I just kind of follow your lead and change it on the fly. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Something as simple as like, this being a party, like a garden party, and the rooms being off to the side, like I may have had one way of doing it or picturing it, but I start to realize, you know, it's actually a little different from how I conceived it now that I'm reading it again for the third or fourth time while we're doing it live. But then you guys might say something and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And so I'll just go along with it. And so
you mean like you'll change the setting slightly based on what the players say? Because what you see, they're seeing in their mind. Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes it's just so vaguely written. It's meant to be like, oh, whatever you want to do, but I don't want to.
That's a really good note. I think you setting is something that a lot of GMs have a tendency to constantly recorrect their players on. Sometimes it's like, just sit back and let the setting change to something you see the players all seeing. And just let the world mold into what's in their mind for the moment. You don't have to constantly reshape things to what you were saying. Unless it is vital to the story, you can really change a lot of that stuff.
Exactly. And what you're doing is you're letting the player's imagination drive the boat. And anytime you can do that, it really starts to, it does a few things. It starts to make the story much richer because now there's several people collaborating on the narrative and not just one person driving the ship, but also like it starts to activate other people's imaginations as well. And they start contributing. And then you're just going to create a much richer tapestry. And that's kind of what happened a little bit here. And then that happens in the role play as well. You're like, I kind of want to talk to these people. Let me talk to somebody. And it's like, all right, there's a shark faced guy. And, it kind of took over from there. And I forgot how funny it was until I rewatched it. I was like, oh my God, is it a problem with the vault? It's just so dumb, but we're having a lot of fun with it. And it's been a great prep for the stuff that's coming up. It's just nice to play loose again too. We tend to play tight, even live shows get a bit looser. We're on the road. Those have their own energy, but we play tight a lot. And that's probably the energy that I give off because I'm so like I could be constricting.
You want it to be perfect.
Yeah, that's that search for perfection. But like when you can loosen up, it's a fine line. But it's again just great practice getting back into the skin of SideQuest Side Session.
A new show, a new season has begun recording this week. A show that was greenlit for a season 2, a show that people have discussed a lot in the nation wanting to come back, that they thoroughly enjoyed, that I personally thoroughly enjoyed. And I'm very happy to say that this past Monday, the crew got together and Voyagers of the Jump season 2, episode 1. Is in the can. They are underway.
Yep.
They're underway. Yep. So, Can't say anything else. I will say a big thank you to Mongoose Publishing for helping make that happen as sponsors of the show. But man, just so awesome to see that on the schedule. And word on the street is that it was amazing. So that's the report I got from our producer on the show. And I'm very excited to listen to it / see it live with you guys. I won't see it ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'll see it when it airs. So
the cast is back. The original cast is back. And Matthew has told me the story. I wasn't totally paying attention because if people talk for more than a minute, I go someplace else. But that first minute.
You catch up on some sleep.
Right. That first minute sounded really good. Going back to SideQuest Side Session, this might be an interesting topic. I went back because I remember we were talking last week and it was just, there was a lot going on because we had 19 people in the studio, but you had talked about Hungry Flurry or whatever it was, how they had to be at a different target. And I was like, I don't remember that. And then I Googled something. I don't know if it was Archives of Nethys or some other bestiary. And it was like, this one says it doesn't say it and this one does. Well, I went back and looked on Foundry and sure enough, it did say single target. So Eric was right to correct me. But here's what's interesting. Like, I want to play by the book, obviously. I missed that in the throes of getting used to Foundry and, like, just didn't read that. But I wonder, like, I have this problem sometimes where I see something and I'm like, ah, but only I can do that. Like the players can't, you know what I mean? Like sometimes, especially if a combat is like easy, I may see a restriction that I'm just like, ah, I don't want to do it. And then if nobody calls me on it, it's fine. Or other times I notice it too late. Like I may notice that it's a single target and just let it go. How do you feel about that? I mean, this is one of the reasons why I can't wait to run, our own campaign, because then there's nobody sitting back and be like, actually, that monster doesn't do that. I'd be like, well, my version of the monster does. But like, how do you feel like about that as a GM, especially in more restrictive games or self-restrictive games like Pathfinder, where what if you just be like, I don't care that it says that?
I think that you and I both believe in the rules. We yeah. think that the rules are there for a reason. And I think that it's hard as a GM to cherry pick what the players are restricted by and you're not restricted by. I don't have any problem with changing rules that are changed for both of us. You yeah. know what I mean? But you know, to echo yourself back to you, your primary reason for trying to be on book as much as possible when it comes to the rules is because you don't think you really know the depth of game balance that might be thrown out of whack by even a smallest change that doesn't seem to really affect much. So that is why typically I will try when running monsters, especially, to not play around with what they've already said there. And I'm not even talking about like homebrew. I'm not talking about pre-written modules. I'm talking about a monster stat block. It doesn't matter whether it's homebrew or not. There's a reason that the game mechanics have been built a certain way. And I think that you should stick to those. I think that doing separate targets, here's what I would say. I would say, you know, like if you want to attack the same target, fine, but take the map. You know what I mean? Like roll for it, dude. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to split your targets. Just attack twice and split your targets, but take the map, you know? It's the two attacks at the highest bonus against one creature. The highest bonus for most monsters against us, especially when it's a smaller number of monsters, is very, very likely to hit. Almost certainly going to hit.
Yeah.
And it could very well crit on not a natural 20. So to do that twice in a row can be devastating. And maybe that's why they brewed it into the game that way. That you said, know, I think that there is... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's not that I see it and just say, nah, I don't like that and do it. Like I realize it after, because to me, that's kind of the same as fudging dice. It's basically in the same ballpark as fudging dice. The rule says this, but yeah, I realize it after the fact, either during the episode or usually after the episode's recorded. And I'm like, I don't care about that. Does that make sense? Kind of like, who cares? But like, obviously I think if I had read it, I would have done it correctly.
Maybe it's who cares if you killed a character. You know, with two consecutive crits, you know what I mean? That like you rolled a natural 19 and a natural 18 and you crit twice. You didn't even roll a natural 20 and you killed a character because you did the rule wrong. That would suck. But generally speaking, I think that looking back, I'd be like, it's not a big deal. To me, it's just more interesting than anything because I always want to get to the core of the game design and be curious, like, well, what is the thought behind this game design? And I like that idea that the thought, generally speaking, is if you aren't going to take the map, then putting that on one target, I'm sure in playtesting has resulted in just too much of a wild swing, so to speak. In terms of damage output in a single round to a single character. I don't know. It is interesting. But I will say that there are changes that I liked. Now, I have not run a game like Pathfinder in a long time. I've been running other games for a while now. And to run a game like Pathfinder where you have these stat blocks and obviously very clear rules that a lot of people know, but that also has a breadth of rules that are impossible to fully always know, It would be exhausting to me to see that, decide to make that change for narrative reasons, because I know I'm not going to kill a character and I know it's going to be fun and keep people on their toes. And then to have somebody correct me on air, you know, like that would irritate me. So I will say that I get that, that like wanting to make those little bobbin weaves as a GM and then have somebody put a microscope over it and then tell you, and I'm not talking about people writing in or doing that on a forum. I'm talking about me doing it to you on a show. That would be kind of exhausting because you might be like, I wanted to do it that time. But you also shouldn't have to pull back the GM screen that clearly for that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I'd say most of the time when I see I get a rule wrong, I'm like, God damn it, I missed that. Fuck. All right, I'll learn for next time. But sometimes I see it, I'm like, that rule's stupid. I don't like it. I'm glad I missed it. You know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I definitely do that sometimes. But
I mean, this is why, and you know, GCP 2.0, I don't want to talk too much about it because it just makes people angry. But like, I do want to make that happen and have every intention to, because I can't wait to play something that no one knows. And I'm going to try with Gatewalkers to bob and weave, and there'll be plenty of opportunities for that. But man, it's going to be so nice to play something that literally no one but the writers and I know, and that we completely own is obviously awesome as well. And that's the reason, like when I mentioned like making our own game, whether I do that or not, because I know this is always a topic of conversation on the Discord and on the boards, whether I do that or not for GCP 2.0 or the future, the whole reason to do it isn't because like we don't like Pathfinder or like we don't appreciate that. It's like owning your own IP is the most important thing as a growing business. And you know, there's so little opportunity to do that when we're playing so many other people's games. If we have an opportunity to do that, I mean, that is clutch. Like we have a great relationship with Paizo now, but let's just say down the line, like Paizo gets sold. And then they're like, well, what's going on with the Glass Cannon podcast here? No, we got to start charging them all this stuff. Like, thank God we have our own system that we're playing. You know what I mean? I think you have to think about like worst case scenarios. We wouldn't be creating a new system because I think I'm better than the fucking writers at Paizo. We'd be doing it because ownership.
I know you're clutch.
Well, I wouldn't be doing it by myself. it's about owning your own stuff. That's what's important. Otherwise, you're always going to be hitched to other companies, which can be great as well if you have great relationships, which we do. But you have to protect against worst case scenarios, and it'd be interesting.
I'll take this opportunity to say, this is probably like a longer treatise another time, but I'm going to take this opportunity to say that we're a few years in now, and I'm regularly playing now. I've pivoted to playing more 2E than 1E, but I am still dabbling in 1E. And then I've got, you know, through Legacy of the Ancients, and then I've got multiple regular 2E games going on. And I definitely like 2E better.
You do? It's official.
100%. All I think about now is in 2E. Like, he's, I just think of everything in the 2E. Frame. I just needed a lot of time to sink into it, you know what I mean? And it's just a really fun mechanically designed game, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, every day we play it, I enjoy it more and more. And it also is nice to like get better at it. Something's more enjoyable when you know what the hell you're doing. And we're slowly yes, but surely exactly. getting there.
Yeah. Speaking of knowing what the hell you're doing, we every week when we can, we try to jam in a little We Are Stupid, just so that everybody can learn 2E along with us as we work our way through SideQuest Side Sesh. And Professor Eric is always there to help us out. Since episode 5 of season 2 was primarily roleplay, there was no really rules to shine a light on. But Professor Eric wanted us to get his rundown from his mind on the sleep spell, because we had kind of bantered about it and it had come up in the previous episode. And so let me just give you his quick rundown of the difference between sleep and 2E versus 1E. First of all, right out of the gate, the 2E version, quote, is significantly weaker in combat than the 1E version. First of all, you are unconscious. However, you don't fall prone and don't release what you're holding in your hands. So that's a huge first step. You just sort of like doze for a second there, the way Matthew does sometimes, like on screen when we're going too long, right? You know, standing on his feet. Other creatures can wake you up, obviously, with an interact action, but you also get a free perception check if there's any noise going on around you. So at the start of your turn, it's free, and the DC is typically very low because of how loud combat is. And so you almost certainly will wake up. You wake up when you take damage. You wake up if an ally takes an interact action to wake you up. You wake up if you get healing. You know what I mean? There's all these different factors by which you wake up. So it's It's really hard to use in combat. Even on a fail or a crit fail, you fall asleep standing up with your weapons in hand. And so when your turn starts, you get a free perception check. It's basically like you're going to lose no actions on that spell. But that's level one. Also heightened to level two or three, pretty much. And Professor Eric says this is pretty much exclusively a non-combat spell. It is useful for infiltration and for stealth. If you're trying to sneak into a place and there's a guard there, put the guard to sleep and then sneak by. Great. In which case, the free perception check does come up, and it's against the stealth DC of those that are going by. Mm. Or I guess if you were GM, what I would probably do is do opposing checks. I think that would be more interesting. Or against a perception DC, right? Their stealth roll against his perception DC or her perception DC, whatever character is asleep. The fourth level heightened version does not get perception checks to wake up, and you fall prone and you drop anything you're holding. So as it levels up, it becomes combat viable, but the early versions are not combat viable.
Yeah. And if you're a much more powerful spellcaster than the players, so usually this would probably happen in boss encounters, your DCs are going to be higher, and a crit fail on a heightened fourth, you're asleep for a minute, not a round. So it makes it a lot more viable in combat for sure.
Yeah. And it has the incapacitate trait, right? So
sleep, yes, it does.
Yeah. So you'd pretty much have to be a boss fight for you to really be damaged by that spell. So it's good to know. And it's interesting. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that it's great from a, Skid is always talking about bringing more kind of logical reality realism into these things, despite its fantasy nature.
Yeah.
And if you were magically asleep and it's all of this screaming combat happening around you, it'd have to be a pretty powerful spell for you to just completely snooze through all that. If the magical sleep really was just sleep and wasn't like magically putting you unconscious to a point of like, and it does that at higher levels, but at the early levels, it's mostly a non-combat spell. So,
I mean, one of the best changes from 1E to 2E is the way that the spells have been sort of reinvented, and that the spells have
from varying, the ground up.
Yeah. Varying levels of power. So it still retains some 1E stuff, but like the best and worst parts have now been pulled into heightened and not heightened. It's really, really cool. And I every day we play, I see a new spell that I'm like, God, that's so brilliant. The way they took the 1E spell and translated it to here, and now it just has so much more versatility and options. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Do you remember in our Jade Regent game, Land Keith, our good buddy Drew?
How could I forget old Land Keith?
When he would evil eye people with the high level witch, evil eye and then sleep hex. I mean,
in Jade Regent.
Jade Regent. Yeah. And he had I can't remember the feat, but it's like the something, it's where you can do it a second time. If somebody even succeeded, usually they're immune to it for 24 hours, but he had a feat where like once a day or something, he can make somebody.
Gormley had it, I feel like. Or what's maybe that? It's a higher level thing, but
I
yeah,
think it's
it allows
a greater hex. Anyway, it was just
it might
a
be feat. A greater hex or some sort of feat that allows you to if a hex fails or even succeeds, you can use it again.
And he would use do that. He would just put you to sleep constantly. And
you
it
guys
was
infiltrated
brutal.
This like Yeti like society, and there were all these like fucking badass Yetis, and he hexed so many of them to sleep. I'm not going to lie. I fudged a couple of those. I'm like, I'm tired of you putting them to sleep. He attacks you.
So funny. Yeah. No, I love the way that they're doing it. I will say as Atticus in Strange Aeons, we're now, what, ninth level? Something like that. And that has been really fun to I honestly did not fully explore and really, really understand the power of heightening until the last like 3 months. Honestly, it's been like the last 3 months that I really, as I got fifth level spells and really started to say, well, I would take my fifth level spells. I'd be like, all right, I got Cone of Cold and I've got, what's the illusion spell? It's not Phantasmal Killer. I can't remember what it is. I have some illusion spell that's, mm-hmm. It's the reaction to, the Shadow Siphon where I can half the damage from from a certain thing. I'm like, Cone of Cold is awesome and everything, but it can be not combat viable sometimes when you are a backline caster because your allies right away, they get up in the mix of it. And a 60-foot cone is almost always going to include your allies. And if it doesn't, you're probably only clipping one or two enemies. So unless you get a really good initiative, it's not really going to be that viable. So let me look at this. What does a magic missile look like heightened to fifth level? It is a guaranteed hit 9d4 plus 9 at that level if you take the three action version.
Awesome. Minimum 18 damage.
Minimum 18 damage guaranteed. Guaranteed hit. It's just really fun to experiment with that kind of stuff. Lightning Bolt. Like, I was so excited to get that. I think it's third level. I never thought about heightening it to fourth level or fifth level. And I started doing that too. And when I'm ready, when I'm preparing now to go into combat, when I know it's going to be combat, I can just do all blaster stuff. And I didn't have to take a different spell at fifth level. That's,
I
just prepared it in that slot. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. Like Sydney just started to wrap her head around heightened. I remember you guys talking.
Heightened heal. She had never heightened heal. Yeah. She thought it was a first level spell and that was it.
Yeah, it takes a while because it's just it's a real new mechanic to us, even though we've been playing this for a few years. But dude, what a difference. Minimum 18 damage now. Anytime you catch me saying like, looks like he's on his last legs, there's no other reason not to just take him out because I can't
especially
be like,
because
oh, he had 19 hit points. And that's minimum 18. You're going to take him out.
Right. Especially because I've been rolling lately, like let's take the stupefied condition out of it. Plus 17-ish is my spell attack roll, you know? And you are pretty much always at 31 or higher on ACs now. And so that means I've got to roll natty 14s, natty 15s, and up in order to hit you. You know, it's no joke. So I'm like, am I going to waste a spell slot and have to roll a natty 14 or higher, or just guaranteed 9d4 plus 9 damage? That's just... it's awesome and just really fun to have that option if you need it.
It's so funny you said that. So what I haven't really looked at yet is the beginning of the conversion of book 4 of Strange Aeons. And you just said, your AC is already like 31, 32. I'm like, I wonder how that's carried over because book 4 is not book 3. It is very, very different. So I'm looking right now at what the ACs are for the sort of opening possible encounters of book 4. And all I'll say is, very interesting.
You're a dirty player, LaValle.
We got Luis Loza doing the conversion for book 4, and he's a beast.
so exciting. Is he going to be a PAX Unplugged or a Gen Con? He'll be at Gen Con, right?
He'll be at Gen Con. Yeah, we gotta hang out. He's a good dude. He came to our Christmas party, and I was just sitting at the bar. I'm like, I'm going to hold court here because I don't feel like moving about, and him and I talked for god about a half an hour. I don't even know what the hell we talked about. I was drinking.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for the FOD. Long FOD today. Juicy FOD. But I mean, we had a lot going on. You know,
we got a lot going on.
A lot of stuff. But really fun times. Looking forward to a hell of a week coming up. We got SideQuest Side Chest Episode 6 comes out tomorrow night. You got Haunted City tonight. Haunted City tonight.
Followed by the Donjon.
Yeah, and then next week, get ready for 5 straight nights of streaming. From RuneQuest to Get in the Trunk to Haunted City to SideQuest to Vast Grim. Every night of the week, we got you covered on twitch.tv/TheGlassCannon. So come hang out. Until then, take it easy, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Folks, work hard.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.